Taking a minute means preparing for the future.
The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our modern, wonderful next generation. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure clean, sustainable energy and safe, sustainable to transition to the future. In the United States, our most abundant enterprise is the return.
Keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details.
This is a top to what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go
to 11. Look, right across the board. 11, oh, 11,
and most
11,
of the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is that any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Lean, Mean, and Green Show right here on the Horn. It's Foxed Up with John Fox, where we turn the conversation to conservation. Foxed Up is brought to you by B1 Louder Productions in Sydney, Australia, and CityNet, citynet.net. B1 Louder by ringing 877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-443-2366, or use your free minutes by dialing direct 304-658-5453. Yeah. Host, the ranting, head-banging hippie, John Fox.
Oh, no freaking way. It's a live show. How you going, folks? Welcome to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network here. It's, what, Valentine's Day still there over in the States? It's, it's kind of the day after. We've gotten all over the Hallmark holiday thing here. But welcome aboard, folks. I've been kind of like off and doing other stuff the last few weeks, and we'll get into what some of that stuff was. And I hope everything's clean and clear. The whole rig's just kind of been repatched in because, well, I go and do gigs and I have to tear things out, and that's cool. That's fine. That's all cool. But, But anyway, what has it been? 3-4 weeks since we've done this? And there's, like, been just a shedload of stuff that's kind of gone by. I don't think that the States has gotten any saner, but there have been some interesting things going on, to say the least. We got a bunch of stuff to do. Got some interesting stuff going on with mountaintop removal. I don't know if Bob covered this at the end of the week or not. I want to talk about a couple of gigs, one that was mine, one that was somebody else's that was just outstanding that I've seen since we last got together. And before I go any further, welcome to the horn, Cynthia Black. That was awesome last night. I wish I could have stayed for the stayed online for the entire show. I will grab the archive later today. But Action Point, Saturdays, new to the horn, 7 p.m., I do believe. And fantastic show. Really, really great show. And, you know, not like it was intentional or anything, but boy, am I glad that the old boys club at the horn has been, you know, kind of broken. Finally. You know, we always tried to get Agnes to do some sort of show at some stage, but family is much more important. And it's so great to have Action Point on the horn, and after Rick too. And Rick's show was really great this weekend. So, you know, here we are. You know, we've talked about this before. Last man standing, right? The piece at BuzzFlash on Bob and the horn. And, you know, in amongst ourselves for, you know, a long, 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 long time, we have talked about how, you know, we kind of had the impression that we could end up being the last, you know, liberal network standing. And as sad as it was to see Nova M, you know, have its problems and go by the wayside, and, you know, Ben Birch was part of that, and that was sad. Malloy ended up without a home, plus a whole bunch of other people. And then Air America, which, you know, a lot of us, and I think a lot of horn listeners that used to be Air America listeners, like me, started to fall away from Air America when they seemed to be losing the plot, as far as I was concerned. It was so refreshing when they first started, and they let people do their thing, and then they tried to go with the right-wing model, and it just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And so, you know, we're looking at the reality that I think, Bob, Guy, Ben, Bruce Birch, you know, all of us that have been part of this network all these years, we kind of saw that Air America couldn't last because they were going against, in many ways, what, you know, the very thing that made them special when they first launched. And, you know, they ditched Mike Malloy and stuff like that. And sorry, if you're going to be, you know, the National Liberal Network on terrestrial radio, you better have the balls enough to be able to stand up to some complaints about Mike Malloy. Sorry. Do you think the right-wingers have any problems with, you know, what Rush Limbaugh says? Hell no! Like Tim from L.A. in the chat room says, he turned off Air America when Mike Malloy was fired. And I kind of, you know, not consciously, but I think that's what happened for me. You know, I mean, I missed Morning Sedition. I mean, that was just radio as an art form. One of the greatest things American radio has produced in 20 years, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, the piece at BuzzFlash, what really blew me away, because, I mean, the interview with Bob, nothing I haven't heard before, and a lot of it's not stuff that you haven't heard, you know, when Bob's talked about the state of progressive and liberal radio in the United States. But what was so amazing was the comments. I mean, if we ever needed the, you know, aside from money, which we always need, you know, and we hate doing this, you know, always going, you know, please support us, hand out all the time. But hey, you know, we've been doing this for free for 4.5 years. And, you know, it's not even as though anyone's looking to get paid as of yet, but it would be awful nice. But to see the comments from people we know and people that I've never heard of about how important the horn is and how we're, you know, a family and just the terminology that's used in the comments just really, really took me back. And I hadn't quite pointed it out to Gail when it first came out, and I showed it to her, and she was like, she said she was getting choked up reading the comments. And it just kind of reaffirms why we do this and why we refuse to go away. It's amazing. It really, really is amazing. And if you haven't seen it, go to the blog at BuzzFlash. It's great stuff. And what's interesting too is since Air America went down, I've been getting emails from, you know, people saying, you know, I do this show, I do that show, you know, check us out kind of thing. And of course, we are going to check these things out. But it's interesting. It all started to kind of happen when Air America went bankrupt, kind of really unceremoniously. They just kind of like rocked up and shut down. And then after the Buzz Flash piece, and, you know, maybe we're getting, maybe, you know, our moment's coming. Hey, you know, I don't know. Believe me, there's nothing I know that you don't. But I'm just hoping that people are going to start looking at this model. And that this model of radio is not about bringing listeners, consumers, to advertising. The purpose of the horn and any other organization like it that's come and gone, it's about communication and ideas. And although we haven't found the magic formula, in making this financially work, but for over 4 years we've been doing this with nothing. So, you know, maybe we'll finally get some people who actually have the dosh to make a difference to what this network can do. Because one of the comments on this thread, there's a few comments actually on here referring to the fact of what we do with no money. And what we could do if we had some funding. Now, I'm sorry to be opening this up kind of like as a, and you know, this isn't me doing a fundraising thing. This is what I see coming back from the people that spend their time with us on, you know, on this thread. It's one of the best things I've seen. But if you start something with a game plan that it's supposed to be one thing, and then suddenly, but your entire business model looks at it as just units and sales. Well, those two things cannot necessarily work together. Now, how do you make it work long term? That's a good question. But I said this before, I said this last year when the Jim Lehrer NewsHour was going through a bit of a kind of retweaking. And you know, that program, supported by foundations and things like that, that want to have something resembling a real balanced newscast, which the Jim Lehrer NewsHour is the closest thing that there is on television to a balanced newscast. And they've, you know, worked out a special deal with Frontline where they tie things together and share reporting, and they're finding a way where they're actually saying that in the time when supposedly, you know, big media is losing its ability to report and do other things, you look at what the folks at the NewsHour have done, and they're actually able to do more with less. And part of that is by, you know, sharing resources with other similar but not competing organizations like Frontline. But, you know, it's really weird. And I'll wrap this part of this whole thing up with this. So far, 2010, in my world, in my personal world here, Gail, myself, you know, our cats, our chickens, this has been the most chockers full, you know, beginning of a new year that I can remember. It's all been pretty positive. And no matter how much recently on this program I have, you know, been, you know, just blowing steam talking about how screwed I think the American system is and how screwed I think you all are. And I know I've caught some flack for some people of just going like, I don't want to listen to that crap. But I do see that maybe possibly this year, I don't know what it is, that some good things could happen. And I don't necessarily mean that they're going to be politically in the U.S. I'm hoping. There's that fucking word again. But I do, as far as one of my passions in this life, which is music, I actually think that we might be on the cusp of another great era of original music played by actual musicians. Just seeing signs of it, I'm liking the signs of that. There's been things, you know, that seem to be dragging on in this life that suddenly have wrapped themselves up. So, like, you know, I mean, when it comes to taking this program on, you know, it's, I feel like I've got two brains. But, you know, maybe this is going to be the year that, because while everybody else went to, you know, anybody that had any money or thought that they had some clout all kind of went, yeah, but you guys don't have a studio in New York. Who gives a crap? How about you can get your message out from your home office via the telephone to the world and get more than 3 minutes in which to say it? So maybe this will be the year that, you know, I feel like we keep holding on and holding on and growing bit by bit. But I'm kind of hoping that this is going to be the year that we take off and, you know, we're not having to do this stuff where, you know, Bob's basically going, please throw down or the lights are going to go off. And it ain't because they're running out of coal in West Virginia. And that reminds me, we got an MTR thing to get to here in a minute, but, you know, so thanks to everybody, and if you haven't been to leave your thoughts at this post, you'll be able to find it on any of our Facebooks. Just go to BuzzFlash and look for Last Man Standing. And, you know, this has been good for us, this post, and thanks to BuzzFlash. This has been very good for us. So, you know, thanks for writing a great piece, and thanks to all of you for coming in and going, you know, this is what we want in radio. We want to have a conversation. We don't want to be talked at. We don't want to be talked down to. We want to have a conversation. So, hey, maybe, you know, 50 years from now, when the book of radio is rewritten and how the internet took over, that we had something to do with rewriting how the game's played. So that being said, I have to show you that, okay. On Australia Day, Gail and I were taken by my sister-in-law to go see a band called Dirty Three. And this is an Australian band that I hadn't, you know, really heard. I knew the name, and it was one of those things you kind of assume you know what they are, and I had no idea. For Christmas, our niece gave us one of the records. Gail and I both fell in love with it immediately. We went to the gig, and I have to say this is one of the most musically profound and beautiful things I have witnessed in, I can't even tell you how long. I'll tell you a little bit about the band after we take this break, but I'm going to play a track going out. Now, this band, it's three dudes, guitar, drums, and a violin going through a Marshall. And this was not playing music. This was conjuring. And Mr. Ellis on the violin, this guy, it's incredible the sounds that he makes. And at the gig that we saw, they played one of their albums in its entirety, which is kind of the theme of the night. The opening band did the same kind of thing. And I just stood absolutely transfixed and absolutely felt like I had been spiritually cleansed by the time we got out of there. And it was hot. It was bloody hot. The place was packed. So, off of, where is it? Where'd the CD case go? Dang it, I just had it here. Where'd you run off to? There you are. Okay. This is off an album called Whatever You Love, You Are. Released in 2000. And this is just the opening track on the record. Dirty Three. Some summers, they drop like flies. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. We'll be back after this. Enjoy Australia's Dirty Three.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
And alcohol. Everybody loves it, and so do I. And President George W. Bush will party tonight. Damn the consequences. Another shot. The sky's the limit. We resolve to party all the way to God.
Fucked up here on the Head On Radio Network. Okay, well, starting to form up to be an as-normal show. Beginning of the second hour, we will have David Fremaine on with the Mystery Track of the Week, which will be great. I still love this song. Such a happy groove, ain't it? Totally different than what I played for you going out there, Dirty Three. And I understand this is not exactly going to be everybody's cup of tea. But I'll tell you, if you went to go see them, I think you could be convinced. But just to give you an idea, okay? You got three guys. Warren Ellis, Jim White, and Mick Turner. Warren Ellis on violin, Jim White, the drummer. Holy bejesus. This guy was like a cross between a great swing drummer, a rock drummer, and an orchestra percussionist. It was this constant switching between, sticks and brushes and mallets. And just constantly, dropping things and picking up other things in this, like, swinging arm kind of style where he's just, like, making these huge circles. And Ellis, the violinist, will just turn his back on the audience when they start playing. But it's absolutely captivating because you just see that shoulder grinding as he's bowing the violin facing the drummer. As these two just conjure this beautiful noise, no bass player, and this guitarist on the side just sitting there kind of filling in the holes and never overplayed once. And just to give you a little bit of an idea, Warren Ellis studied classical violin and worked briefly as a school teacher in regional Victoria after completing a degree. He also played in the Black Eyed Susans. He's later a member of Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds. He's also played on some Hunters and Collectors records, plus Texton and Charlie. This is all Australian stuff. And I defy, I challenge anyone to try and, you know, categorize. And see, that I think that's one of the things that just really got me was the fact that, you know, how do you categorize that? And because it's a great example of why categories don't work. And because I just defy anyone to try and pigeonhole that noise. But someone made a comment in the chat room that it sounded like, you know, it could be soundtrack music. There's an Australian film came out a few years ago called The Proposition. And Dirty Three composed the soundtrack for that. They won numerous awards. Ellis has won tons of awards for his compositions. Just a truly unique sound. And so that's, I only have one album of 11. See, this is one of those things where you're, you know, like, how did I not know about these guys? And the band that opened up for him, a band called The Laughing Clowns, I can't fairly review them because I think they got boned on the mix out front. I don't think what we heard out front was what they were playing on stage, to be perfectly honest. So I'm going to find... the record that they played that night. And I want to see what it was that I was supposed to hear. I'm trying to get David's track down, and it's being a problem child. Okay, we'll try this again. Anyway, great show, great music, 10 more albums to catch up on. But probably the most important thing we need to cover here today is Gene sent this to me. The Rainforest Action Network is putting on a social media day of action against Chase Bank. In an effort to pressure them to stop backing financially mountaintop removal. And, you know, anyone who's been listening to this network for any length of time knows that mountaintop removal mining is one of the core issues of this network. Bob Kincaid and his family living right in the midst of, you know, hell in Appalachia, as the oldest mountains on the planet are turned into a fucking moonscape. And if you're new to the program, I swear a bit. So I, you know, it's the reason I'll never be on terrestrial radio. And you know what? It's all words. And all words have their moments that they're useful. But anyway, you'll find all these posts over, links to all the stuff we're talking about today, links to the Dirty Three and anything else we're going to talk about tonight over at Foxed Up, F-O-X-D-U-P dot headonradionetwork.com. Thanks to Gene, the news ninja, for all of his help putting this show together every single week, every week when we get on. and I will talk a bit about why I wasn't here a little bit later in the show. But anyway, from the Rainforest Action Network, J.P. Morgan Chase Social Media Day of Action. Put Chase on the run Thursday, February 18th. I've signed up for this. I hope everyone on the horn will do the same and tell your friends. Join Rainforest Action Network. I'm just reading from the press release. And thousands of friends on the internet as we send a message to J.P. Morgan Chase to stop financing mountaintop removal. J.P. Morgan Chase is the largest financier of mountaintop removal coal mining, investing hundreds of millions of dollars into a real American tragedy. Mountaintop removal is the highly destructive mining practice that literally explodes the tops off of mountains It harms homes and habitats. It destroys nearly 1.2 million acres of Appalachian forest and mountains. It has buried over 2,000 miles of rivers and streams with debris and pollution. Instead of bankrolling this brutal, toxic, and irreversibly destructive practice of destroying mountains for climate-killing coal, Chase should better put their money on the right side of history. It's time for Chase to stop making millions by destroying Appalachia's mountains. Please join us for a social media day of action on February 18th. We'll use our Facebook pages, Twitter accounts, and blogs to hold J.P. Morgan Chase accountable for financing this despicable practice. And so they've got a little sign-up sheet if you want to take part. And just on the day, hammer links, Facebook, everything. And, you know, if you're taking part in that new experiment of buzz on Google, do it all. Do it all. I think this is a really good idea. And I think one of the best things that can happen is for people to be sending emails directly to Chase. And I think what we should do, Gene, if you are hearing me, see if you can find, say, I don't know, some email contacts for J.P. Morgan Chase, and maybe we shall post them up on the Horn website, and maybe we'll have to give a little special placement for it. So plug this thing. I like the idea of everybody on a day just telling, you know, Chase going, you know what? Stop making a profit off of this horrible, horrible, horrible practice. Well, this is really weird. Dave, your link doesn't want to download, but we'll do it the other way. But, you know, we're going to talk a bit about all the snow and the idiots, Beck, Hannity, the rest of them, fucking going, oh, it's snowing! Climate change is a joke. What's a joke is people that don't have a fucking clue and are so certain of themselves and so certain of their ignorance. Unbelievable, unbelievable shit. So, anyway. Trying to get back in the habit of juggling all these things, sitting there trying to talk in some sort of coherent pattern while operating things and downloading things, especially when they're not playing ball. But I think I have it here, Dave. But, you know, please, check out the blog. There's a link to the Rainforest Action Network page. Sign up, and then on the 18th, I'll be doing it. Everybody else be doing it. Just get on there. Tell people to poke Chase. I think it'd be a good thing. Because really, you know, if you can't get funding to do it, you know, I mean, Westpac Bank here in Australia, even though I don't like them personally as a bank, I had bad experience, but they're rated as one of the most kind of socially conscious of the major banks here, and I think they've taken steps to not fund really, 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 you know, dangerous projects. And I think that's good, and it's probably really good for their business. And Tim from LA pops up with a link here. It's in the chat room, but I guess it's probably just the contact us page over at jpmorganchase.com. And I just think it's a good deal. It's a good deal. So anyway, please help out, take part of that. It's one of the Horns, you know, kind of feature causes. But anyway, before we kind of finish up this here hour, and we'll open up the phones in the third hour, because next hour we're going to be talking to David from Maine with the Mystery Track. But I think I got to talk a little bit about why I haven't been here. Yeah. Tim makes a really, really great statement. On this day of social networking action against J.P. Morgan Chase, be nice. Be polite. Don't be rude. Don't be vicious. They'll be like, hey, you fuckers, it's destroying my home. Even though that's what you might feel. Diplomatic. You know. Well. Thought out statements. Because the facts are on our side. It's not like you have to be, you know, hyperbolic to make the point. I mean, the reality is the reality, but great point there. And no, Tim, not regular phones yet. I'm going to have a look and see if maybe hell froze over since the last time I checked, and see if those will work maybe for next week. But we do have the Skype thing going, so it's FOXDUP on Skype. If you're not on my contacts list, you know, put a little note going, I'm a listener to the horn or something, so I know that you're not like, you know, Cam with me, Kathy, who continues to come and try and say hello all the time. So where the hell have I been? Well, where I've been has been... it's all just kind of going crazy here. Jazzler crash. That's the first time that's happened in a while. But anyway, where have I been? I've been working. You know, that unfortunate thing that we have to do to, eat. All that kind of jazz. And, we had a gig with Swivelhead last weekend, and we've been doing a lot of work with the band. As you do, always trying to improve. And we were back at the Sandringham Hotel in Newtown, which is one of the last venues in the area that really focuses on original live music. And Tony, the owner, and the staff there do a great job by providing a nice new room, decent stage, PA, the works for us for young talent to be able to go and play. And last Saturday, we had a really great night. All three support bands were great, brought people. We almost sold the place out, and looking for really great things over the next year from Swivelhead. I do think that there's definitely something there. And this again, like I said earlier, I keep getting this feeling like we're on the cusp of another great era of music, you know. Last one was in the 90s with alternative and whatnot, and, you know, and then there was kind of the late 70s before that, and you know, we go through these hot and cold periods. And it's been really, really dry for a long time. There hasn't been all that much to choose from. But recently, as I've been out on these local gigs, which I've been doing for a while, but I'm seeing really, really, really good local talent trying to be good bands. And I think it's really, really great. It's making me enjoy going back out and doing it again. Because for a long time there, all I was seeing was going out with, you know, Australian Idol losers. And not that they themselves are losers, but they didn't win the competition. And, you know, just sorry. Just does not do it for me. But, there's nothing, I swear, sometimes you can't find people that work harder than musicians trying to create something out of nothing. Because I'll tell you, you know, we took a crew in there that worked longer and harder than their pay packets would represent, but everybody's there because they want to see something happen. They want to see something new. They want to be part of something unique. And that's good. Have I climbed up on a soapbox, a musical soapbox? I don't know. Maybe I have. but, yeah, so the last couple of weeks, you know, we've had rehearsals and things like that that have interfered with doing the show. It's unfortunate, but, hey, that's life. But it's really good to be back today. And the only thing that I wish is that it wasn't like a bloody rainforest here. We have been getting so much rain here. And I'll get to this a little later, talking about the stupid comments made about climate change being over, or a joke, or a hoax and all that. Because, you know, I could say, well, you know, New South Wales wasn't on fire this year. We got flooded, so it's all over. Yeah, but, you know, if I look at the rest of the map of the country, this time it's been South Australia that got its ass burned. And not to mention that we're in an El Nino season, but I'm telling you, it feels like here, like the tropics have shifted south by a couple hundred kilometers. Yeah, Timmy's saying, you know, thus a drought with El Nino. Well, it seems as though it's reacting a bit different this time around, but then again, it hasn't been... El Niños have not been as they've been happening more often than they used to. I mean, we've talked about this on the program before, but we've just been getting hammered with so much wet. And the thing that scares me is that as we get towards the end of summer here, and we have all this, you know, fresh growth, that while there's still fire danger, before we end up getting out of autumn, which there really isn't one here, that we could end up being in blazes, you know, before it's out. But, you know, you can't look at one isolated part of the world. I mean, so many people have done a beautiful job debunking this crap that's come out of Beck and Hannity and multiple others, you know, Inhofe and his family building the igloo. I mean, come on, how fucking childish. Grow the fuck up, man. I mean, really. You know, I do actually have a sense of humor, and on a level I can see the humor of it. But when you're a representative of government and are supposed to be dealing in, like, facts and supposed to be part of a debate, bringing your family in as props to build an igloo to sit there and do some sort of fucking television raspberry at Al Gore. And what I fucking love, all right, I'm going on a rant before we get out of here, and this is the thing that fucking just drives me absolutely insane. They can't go after the science, so what do? They have to go after Al Gore. Al Gore didn't create this. Al Gore is not the one that has been going out and doing the science. All he has done has been an advocate for the reality of the science. But these assholes, it's all about short-term wins. And going for the morons. I keep thinking of, you know, Bill Hicks, and they're going, hey, honey, what time the gladiator's on? I'm so glad we live in a free country, you know. Fucking puerile bullshit. Yeah, I know you have to have an understanding of science, but... All right, Freckles. My language is being commented on. But, you know, it feels like my dad's bigger than your dad when we were 10 years old in the playground. My dad's car's faster than your dad's car. Instead of actually having a debate like adults. I was watching Rachel Maddow on... Meet the Press, I bet their ratings were doubled this weekend, taking on that Republican just child. and pointing out not only the absolutely disingenuous hypocrisy of what the right is doing, regardless of what Obama might be doing right or wrong, they're just not letting him do shit. But something seriously is broken. And it's been interesting to hear it kind of mentioned again and again, how many bills have actually gotten through the House with kind of on an average of 50 Republican votes. But yet nothing can happen in the Senate. Nothing happens there. That institution is so absolutely just insular and self-serving that it is the Senate that is tearing the country apart. And it's just so sad. It's just really, really tragic when you do have people trying to do things. And probably very much for, and this is probably stating the obvious, for fear that it may work. The Republicans will stop anything and everything. If they can't gut it, they'll stop it. Because you know what? If something gets through and it does good, we're screwed. Pretty simple. So, as we get out of this first hour of the first Foxed Up in many, many moons, or maybe just a moon, we're gonna go out with a little bit of Swivelhead, my band, or the band that I work for. And when we come back, we'll have the mystery track of the week with David from Maine. So stick around, folks. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. If you want to get in on the program, you can get in via Foxed Up on Skype or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com. Love to hear from you a little bit later in the show when we open things up. So in the meantime, the opening track on the album from Swivelhead, Cannot Live Here. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Horn. We'll be back after this.
On the ground, but I'm
know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
It's hour two, getting all boxed up. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Nobody knows you. Nobody even knows your name.
Everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here at the top of hour two. And the conversation continues. Your listener supported Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. Entering a moment of growth, I do believe. But anyway, let's move on with the program, as they say, and bring on, as normal, hour two, our good friend David Tremaine. How you going, David?
Ladies and gentlemen, back from his extended leave of absence, it is Mr. John Fox.
I wasn't sure. Was that Johnny? Was that Ed McMahon or Kermit the Frog you were doing there?
Not Kermit the Frog. No.
Okay. Suddenly it sounded like you were going to go, yay! Sorry. Anyway, how you been, man?
Howdy.
I've been doing pretty good and. You know, in line with what you were talking about, how the industry is changing and how we're in for good music, I thought I'd bring this artist to your attention because everyone is on this artist right now that I've selected, and it's really an important turn in the industry because, John, the last MC I brought to the table, the last lyricist, or the last person tied to hip-hop and spoken word I brought was Saul Williams.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, John, whenever I bring an MC to the table, I have to really feel him. And I have to feel their lyrics, and I have to know that this person is meant to be heard by a lot of people. And when this song came out, which you guys are about to hear, a lot of people resonated to the song. And partially part of the reason is because you get the right alchemy of talent, pain, struggle, and artistry. And what's really amazing about just the kind of impact that this guy has had already, he's not on a major, and this is a cultural shift, people, what I'm telling you. He's not on a major, and he's created the buzz of a major artist, major label artist. In hip-hop, that's a real big deal. The fact that he's got P. Diddy signed on to him, Mos Def, they're all co-signing on him, Nas, Jay-Z, you name everyone in hip-hop is behind this guy, like he's the new leader.
Wow.
It's an amazing thing to watch, and the other thing about it is he's really, really vocal, and his music is really inspirational, and the thing that really impresses me about it is he doesn't just come with the music, he's coming with the visuals, and I'll have to send you the trailer to his new music video, but he shoots around, he puts a lot of thought into it. He goes all around the world to shoot his new music video coming up that they're gearing up for is in, he shot in Nepal. And he's decked out in like some Indiana Jones type wardrobe, and I mean, he really goes like the extra mile, just kind of like Saul Williams does. But I guess the difference is Saul Williams was that abstract artist. Jay Electronica, the artist I'm about to play, has the potential to change the game literally and bring in more lyricists, which in turn creates this industry for more creative artists in hip-hop. And not just hip-hop, they'll be looking all across the board. So, yeah, this is really an important track that I'm about to play. And the fact that they played it on mainstream hip-hop radio is a miracle in itself. The fact that people spun this on Hot 97, which is like the Z100 of hip-hop stations.
Right.
You know, the fact that they played this, the fact that they gave it rotations, the fact that, well, here, one of the terms that they use for when, one of the things they do for when they play a hot record and they want to get the approval of people, this DJ named Funkmaster Flex, he does what's called dropping bombs on it. And it's actually bomb explosions over it. And he did that with Jay Electronica's record. So, yeah, without further ado, this is Jay Electronica Exhibit C, and it's blowing up all over the world, people.
Here we go.
Might as well go through some trouble for a little bit of that.
Famous Mr. Magic Rap Attack presents.
Slice a pizza to my name. Too proud to beg for change, mastering the pain. When New Yorkers was calling southern rappers lame, but then Jack and I swing. I used to get dizzy spells, hear a little ring, the voice of an angel telling me my name, telling me that one day I'ma be a great man, transforming with the Megatron dog spitting out flames. Either whack rappers alive, shitting out chains. Nigga, I was homeless, fighting, shooting dice, smoking weed on the corners, trying to find the meaning of life in the
regardless of we gonna do a song.
Inform them as you either build or destroy. Where you come from? The Magnolia Projects in the Third Ward slum. It's quite amazing that you rhyme how you shine like you grew up in a shrine in Peru. Question 14, Muslim lesson 2. Abracadabra, you rocking with the true and living. Shout out the lights out, Joseph I, Chewy Bivens. Shout out to Baltimore, Baton Rouge, my crew in Richmond. While y'all debating who the truth was, like Jews and Christians, I was on Cecil B, Broad Street, Master, North Philly, South Philly, 23rd, Tasker, 6 Mile, 7 Mile, Hartwell, Ranch. But niggas really were packing you all trucked up. Put the high beams on, drive up on the curb at the park, and you will hop up off the bat like bust up. Kill a nigga, rob a nigga, take a nigga, bust up. That's why I'm talk, I never feel you. You sound real good and you play the part well, but the energy you're giving off is so unfamiliar. I don't feel you.
We need Sutton Miller.
Hit me up on the phone, said what you waiting on. Tip hit me up with a twit, said what you waiting on. Diddy send a text every hour on the dot saying when you gon' drop that first nigga you taking long. So now I'm back spitting that he can pass a polygram. That Reverend Run rocking Adidas out on Hollis ass. That FOI Marcus Garvey, Nikki Tesla. I shock you like an ill electric field, J Electra. They call me J Electronica. Fuck that, call me J-Elect Hanukkah, J-Elect Yarmulke, J-Elect Tramadon, Muhammad Asalamaka, Rasulullah Subhanawata, Allah through your monitor. My Uzi still weigh a ton, check the barometer. Hold on, I got it. Electra, feel J-Electra. They call me J-Electronica. Fuck that, call me J-Elect Hanukkah, J-Elect Yarmulke, J-Elect Tramadon, Muhammad Asalamaka, Rasulullah Subhanawata, Allah through your monitor. My Uzi still weigh a ton, check the barometer. I'm hotter than the motherfucking sun, check the thermometer. I'm bringing ancient mathematics back to modern man. My mama told me never throw a stone and hide your hand. I got a lot of family and you got a lot of fans. That's why the people got my back like the Verizon man. I play the back and face the black and then devise a plan. Out in London, smoking, vibing while I ride the train.
Wow. That is a funky loop, and that 808 just dropped in like thunder at the top of it, man.
Yeah. The thing to keep in mind about the whole why so many people are on this why so many people are riding for this guy is the fact that he has the hottest producer in the game right now, or one of the hottest producers in the game, which is the guy who made the track named Just Blaze. He's made hits for everybody. And the other thing to keep in mind is the fact that every generation you have a lyricist that comes along in hip hop. There was Nas, or every 5 or 6 years it seems. There was Jay-Z. And then it seems like the J Electronica, the buzz out there, just to give an indication of what kind of buzz this guy has. I mean, just type his name in Twitter. every minute there, I swear to you, every minute there's somebody mentioning J Electronica on Twitter. You can do that pretty much. I mean, the net activity is crazy. He had something on his Twitter that was interesting. He wanted to show people why he couldn't get back to him in time, or why people thought he was taking so long. So he took a screenshot. He took a screenshot of his computer monitor. It was all completely poster boarded up with IMs. He said he could not even do anything on the computer. I mean, that's the kind of momentum and buzz this guy has, and that's why so many people are excited about him. Because in turn, what this does, see, John, a lot of people don't understand this, but when you have a catalyst artist like this, you have to get behind them, whether you really feel them, or whether you don't understand it. Because here's the thing, people, the wheels turn and the cogwheels turn and the doors open that way. And if you don't have those artists, just like we didn't have a Led Zeppelin, or we didn't have a Who, or we didn't have an Aerosmith, a lot of bands would be knocked out. They wouldn't have been signed. That's why a lot of these people, John, I'm going to keep it real. That's why a lot of these people talking about, well, I don't understand why that band is overrated. They shouldn't have been that big. Yes, they should have been that big in the 70s and 60s because your band wouldn't have existed. That's how it goes, people. That's how it works.
Yeah.
That's exactly, and you know what, John? A lot of people don't understand that. They don't get that because they don't. They're beyond the boardroom. They don't talk to the people in the industry. But
that's exactly
what's happening.
At the moment, I'm thinking, what industry? Because as far as I'm looking at it, the labels have really kind of now have totally outlived their usefulness, as far as I'm concerned. And it's starting to show. You know, with the way that, you know, Twitter, IMs, all this kind of stuff can get like this J Electronica guy up, and I can see where He'd be creating some noise from that track. You know, in the chat room, someone was saying, you know, sounded a bit, you know, on their computer like the record was skipping. But unfortunately, you know.
You know what that's from? Wait, let me tell you what that's from. That's because I grabbed the radio rip, so you were actually hearing what was on the radio, and that's what DJs do.
I was wondering, and I was going to ask that, you know, because, you know, I'm not, you know, over here, I'm definitely not like, you know, listening to, you know, mainstream hip hop radio from the United States.
Right.
And you made the comment how, you know, this guy who, you know, no major label, that kind of thing, has gotten himself on one of the bigger stations. So you're telling me that, and I guess I should have assumed this, and I was dumb not to, that hip-hop radio is suffering the same blandness of playing the number ones of certain artists programmed kind of by computer, and you're ending up kind of with the same playlist situation, but here you have the DJs cutting it up live, but you're still not. I would have thought in even hip hop radio commercial, there still would have been that still something carried over from the old days of, you know, a fresh mix, you know, when it used to be like just the tapes that someone cut that day that got sent around. The idea that I would have thought that would have been one part of music radio that still would have kept on that idea of throwing new things out. But does it suffer like the same things that commercial rock radio does?
Well, you know what, John? I think what eventually happens is the fact that you get people, you get the business involved, and the business takes over the art like usual. And what happens is the DJs get pushed out little by little, year after year, and no one notices it until it's too late. And that's really, thank God for the internet though, because the internet, you would have never had the rise of so many artists all across the board. Everyone from Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah. I mean, they were an internet-based phenomenon. I mean, and they sold out. They literally just started on a blog, people, and they literally had people wall to wall. I'm not kidding you. Line after line, corner to corner, in New York City, just filled, clubs packed, sold out night after night, just because someone posted them on blogs and stuff. You know, so I think the problem is the fact that a lot of people don't realize, how important DJ is, and they don't understand. In particular, in hip hop, and they don't understand in rock, and they don't understand. I think the DJ is the mediator. He is the one who is supposed to open the door for new music and new art.
Yeah, and he's supposed to be that solo voice in your own head. I mean, that's part of the that one-on-one feel that every person in their car, in their house, gets when they tune into somebody. You know, I mean, no matter how kind of, you know, kind of mamby-pamby and pop culture it was, you know, you go back to, like, even, you know, America's Top 40 national show, it was still the one, you know, it was that intimacy, and it was the host. People went there because of Casey Kasem. It wasn't about what was going to be played that week, necessarily. They were going because of what that guy brought to it. And you think about guys like Peel, who, you know, lost people, like Peel in the UK, who was, you know, he was the English Scott Muni, you know, as I remember growing up listening to Scott Muni, you know, having rock stars, you know, basically, like, die and revive in the middle of an interview because they're so screwed up. But that's what it was, and introducing new music and being that person that opens up the door to a place that you've never been before. And all that's gone. That's why I don't know if you caught me talking about Dirty Three. Here I've been living in this country as long as this band's been around, almost as long, and I had no concept. And why is it that a band that was that good, that obviously has a fan base because the place was packed and they hadn't played in Australia in 6 years.
Yeah.
Why have I never heard Dirty Three on a radio station ever anywhere? There's obviously an audience for it. And everyone that I've played some of it to has gone like, wow. And whether they like it or not, they're like, that is different. That's, I've not heard that before. And yeah, it's this weird time, man. And I'm thinking that as the labels fall apart, and the smart ones are doing interesting deals, where you have bands like the Foo Fighters and things in rock that totally produce the package themselves, and the label is just a distributor, man. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it, done deal. And I think following on from some of Prince's early work with trying to come up with new formats of deals, where, you know, the bands that are starting to pave the new way are using them purely as distribution outlets, and, you know, actually taking the entire creative process under their own belts, which obviously technology has been a huge boost to that ability. But yeah, I think it's so shaken up right now that sometime in the next couple of years, I think we're going to see some of that dust settle and start to see some of these new models that are, kind of just grasping at straws, trying to hang on, and those some get a grip and do well, and we see those bands. But I think we're gonna start seeing the new reality come down. You know, I mean,
yeah,
and you look at right now, AC/DC is touring Australia for the first time in like ages.
Yeah,
they sold enough tickets for one out of every 35 Australians to have a ticket in a couple of hours. That's a lot.
I think the big step is gonna tell the artists of the next generation of they're gonna have to get used to a different standard of scaling back with their overhead. It's still a process that a lot of people are getting used to, but I think the days of what they were talking about in the 70s and the 80s and even in the 90s, I don't think that's ever gonna come back to the United States in forever. And I really think that a lot of artists are going to have to embrace fully the technology that comes, it seems, every single day. They're going to have to look into it and see how they can reinvent. There's a few things that I've looked at that are on the horizon for technology for starting a digital label, and there's a couple sites I got to show you, John, because when you see them, they're mind blowing. I mean, the level that they've gone to, as far as everything from designing your own artwork and designing your own templates, and the sites that were passed to me, I was like, "Whoa, you got to be kidding me!" And I mean, a lot of people still don't know about them, and when the word gets out, a lot of people are going to jump out. And I do believe that. Well, you know, John, here's what I do believe that's going to happen in the music world. I think it's true what people said about music channels, and here's another thing that I think people are not considering. I think downloading, we are hitting download overload everywhere in this culture to a degree we've never seen before, because we've only been downloading for over plus a decade now.
Yeah.
But when it comes to on the internet, you're going to see. I think you're going to see more of a marketing and more of business ventures into streaming media when they get this worked out. I think what's eventually going to happen is a lot of people aren't actually going to own the music. It's not going to be on their hard drive. They're going to have the stream with such clarity that they're going to be able to listen to albums at will, like they do on Rhapsody, but they still have to work out some bugs and still need to get a lot of more labels on board. And a lot of these labels need to understand the new mechanics that work behind this, the new royalty mechanics, everything that goes with the business with that,
yeah.
And they really do need to jump on board with the digital labels and the channels, because, like I said, the physical label is it can be done, but you know what? I mean, we're in a different age now, and a lot of people are going to have to. Shift or die, basically.
Well, but see, my take on this part of it, though, David, is because of the, you know, I still say that the whole downloading thing is overblown in its impact
to music. I'm not saying that it doesn't have an impact. But going back to that great quote from the manager of Outkast in a documentary a few years ago, who said, yeah, the industry has taken a slug from downloads, but it's not the problem that they claim it is. The real problem has been for a lot of the past, you know, kind of 15, 20 years, the labels have been releasing shit. And that's exactly how he put it. And I've used this line plenty of times. He said, naive teenagers only stay that way for so long. And I think this is part of the reason why I think the live performance is really making a comeback. I mean, I just watched in the past year the tours that have come through here, and they haven't been small tours either. You know, they've been high production value shows like Pink's Bloody Circus. Right now we have AC/DC just kind of taking over every football stadium in the country. We've had the reunions and stuff like that, but there's just like all these bands that are doing, you know, multiple shows in a city where we're getting back to the day where even though the technology and the medium has changed, back in the 70s, growing up, as I remember, the album was really the thing that got played on the radio to advertise the tour, because the album wasn't what was actually made money for the bands. It was people coming to see them play. And I think because people are looking at the sales of records not so much as the unit thing and profit, but as the way you get people to come to your shows. And when you put on a good show and you give them value for money, they come back again. And that's, you know, Trent Reznor's a great example of this. We've talked about him plenty of times over the past couple of years. Basically told his label to go screw themselves because they're ripping off his fans. But he's not hurting. He hasn't actually made a dime off of a record in years. But it all comes from everything else that he does, which originates from the music. And I think, you know, it makes everybody gets very unsure because they want, you know, it's like, I want to know, you know, exactly where I'm getting royalties from and all that. And, you know, like, I actually came across a thing. Check this out, man. In Australian copyright law, like, this is one of those things I can totally understand where someone came up with this, but I think it's a bit silly. Okay, example. My niece co-writes a song with four other people. Two of them are in her band. I might not have the details right. Two are not. Every time she plays her own song, she has to report it, supposedly, to this outfit that then pays the royalty to everyone for the performance of a song that she co-wrote. So she technically has to pay herself and everybody else to play her own song. Now, I understand the idea. The whole thing was supposed to be to kind of cover people when it comes to, you know, co-writing stuff. But it just seemed, when I looked at this, I'm going, it's turned into a thing where actually it costs her more to pay everybody else to use a song that she co-wrote than what everybody ends up getting paid. It's just the most bizarre thing, and this is where the bean counting has just gotten so ridiculous. And Australian copyright law is some of the better written copyright law in the world. But even there's this thing, and my sister-in-law is showing it to me, and I'm going, are you serious? You know, so like if I write a tune with, say I helped Swivelhead, and I, you know, wrote a riff part of a tune or gave him a couple of lines, the idea that they'd have to go through something while I'm being played, you know, while I'm at the gig anyway, that they got to pay me a royalty fee to play a song that I helped them write for the promotion of the band to get, like, it's so circular and ass backwards, it makes no sense to me. I know it makes sense to other people, but the end result, I just don't see the point. I understand having these registrations so that, yeah, you release it on your album and you sell them, yeah. Then this is a great system to make sure that the people that helped you write the song, you know, on that kind of thing. But this idea that you have to pay to perform your own song, which is starting to border on, is bizarre. And I think it's just the weird kind of manifestations of copyright law in collapse in its current form, because it's just written all wrong to begin with.
What I meant by the downloading situation was not so much that people were downloading, they were taken away from sales. That's not what I meant. What I meant was the period or the culture of downloading is hitting a burnout period. I know, because I talked to a lot of my friends, and they have lots of hard drives filled with lots of stuff that they don't listen to. I guess what I'm getting at,
right,
is the fact that I see music moving into streaming media even more forward than downloading, because of this phenomenon that's happening where you have hard drive after hard drive filled. Because let's face it, a lot of these people who are going to be entranced and enchanted by this music are going to be serious audiophiles and people who are basically label hounds and label hunters. And it's not going to be the curious few who just like, oh, let me check out that song, or let me check out this song. It's going to be those serious, insatiable types. And I think that's where we're headed. And that's what I meant by the fact that of what was happening with downloading. I mean, I was talking to a friend this week, and I said, so what have you downloaded lately? And he said, I can't download anything anymore. It just gets so too tiresome. And it's not the fact that he doesn't like music. It's the process. It's the method. Everything is it becomes too redundant. And that's why I said, when you have a stream or a channel from a straight to a label, and you can get it from right from the get go, and you just turn it on, and you say, play me the. Lots of more people are going to gravitate toward that than to downloading. When they figure out how to do streaming music channels and label channels to the iPod, which is probably what they're figuring out now, you can see Netflix. They're gearing up for the new revolution, which is all streaming video content, movies, whatever, streaming episodes. They got it all running. When they figure out how to get the right coding and the right buffering and the right streaming, that's going to be popping like you wouldn't believe in terms of just how many people are going to be part of that. And I mean, call it a prediction, but I see music headed in the same way.
But you know, it's interesting. Like, you talk about like a situation where you're kind of where you're streaming the content direct from the label, but
yeah,
you don't actually own a copy of it, and that could kind of play into the iTunes kind of vibe of, you know, controlling things that you own. And, like, that's the part that I think that they're still trying to hold on to too much.
Right.
You know? Instead of just, you know, I mean, that the statistics that come back, we've seen report after report. You and I talked about this not all that long ago, where, you know, the people that download, technically illegally, buy more packaged music than the people who don't. So to me, that only backs up what I was saying, that it's advertising, getting it out there. The money, if you put something out that's good, people will pay for it. And that, you know, this is where, you know, bands like Tool and whatnot go, screw iTunes, give you all this really, really great packaging, something that you've anticipated, and you'll end up having, you know, kids from 14 to 50 waiting at the stores the day that it comes out so they can get it in all its grandness, that it's something special. And I think that you're talking about that, like, where people are just getting burned out on downloading, that there's just, like, so much. Do you actually get to appreciate everything that you take down?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. I did want to touch on some other things before we sign off for the night. I was listening on the radio about the coming meltdown in this country, and they had a great term, John, and I think you should start applying it to our country. The problem of America is the problem with America is that they think that the standards, we can live at the standards that we lived in the 80s, the 70s, and the 60s, and the DJ had a really good term for this. He said, but if you take an airplane ride up in the sky, you'll realize what happens to a lot of highways and to a lot of roads and where the building stops. in a lot in this country if you just did an aerial view of this country. And he said, basically, what you're seeing is the beginning of our country becoming a dirt road society.
It's a scary, bloody thought, isn't it?
But it's true.
It is. It is. You know, and I really think, you know, Maddow has been doing some really good stuff on this the past week where she's, you know, really focusing on where the system that we have is so broken that absolutely nothing can get done. And it comes down to, you know, if you really look at it, it's these 100, you know, it's these 100 senators. They're the ones,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I, you know, this win at any cost thing, and I'm glad that Biden's been talking to it. I'm really glad. I mean, the whole question and answer thing, you know, I've been, you know, off since before that all happened when, you know, Obama went in front of the Republicans and just, you know, said, no, you're lying. No, this is the reality. No, and kind of handed them their ass. I'd love to see more of that. Because it's really, the more I keep seeing it kind of reported by the few good people that will, Congress, or, you know, the House has actually been getting shit done. But because the Senate just log jams everything, or, you know, you have these, you know, just, no, I ain't gonna, unless you give me everything I want, I'm holding a hostage. Childish. It's just such childish bullshit, man. I cannot believe that these are adults. I really, you know, it's just like, when are the grown-ups, aside from, you know, Barack Obama, you know, Dennis Kucinich, you know, and I mean, Obama, he's more centrist than I would like him to be, but if everyone else actually played the game we're supposed to be playing, which isn't a game, it's actually, you know, being a society and a nation and a government, self-governing nation, we would be making great progress. But no one wants to play that game. And we've been seeing it where, you know, Obama will come out and say, hey, you know what, this Republican idea, okay, I can get on board with that. And then they go, oh, he's for it, now we're against it. I think it's becoming really apparent that they've found a way for corporate interests and opposition right-wingers to just be able to lock it all up. And maybe the Congress itself in the whole isn't quite as broken as I was thinking it was. Because I started looking at the list of everything that actually the House has gotten through with a pretty decent amount of Republicans on board. What is it about the Senate that makes it so much different? And why do we continue to let them? Something's got to change, man. Or we're going to continue to let them have this country go nowhere, which ends up meaning that it's just going to fall apart and go backwards.
You know, John, I've heard the talk that's out there about how we just need to stand hold with the Democrats and just keep our faith in that and hopefully.
I'm gone from that. That's not where I'm going. I'm talking about individuals.
I know you're not. But this is most of the masses, John. That's what I'm saying. Like when I say the reality that I live in, I'll tell you the reality that I live in. Where I live right now, I know the jobs aren't coming back. I know they're never going to come back. I pretty much know that because where I live in the specific town I live, we have an element of crime that's going up. We have an element of closed businesses going around, and it was never a productive town to begin with. So I know this town is pretty much headed south forever. And wherever direction that goes, that's where it decides to go. But what I'm getting at is the fact of I see Obama and I see Obama's acolytes, and the only one I can see is Dennis Kucinich. Everyone else is just wants to be in line to protect the empire, and you can't protect this empire anymore, people. It's totally shown its face to the rest of the world. The rest of the world is pretty much sick of America. They're not going to come to save us. They're not going to bring a lifeline or inner tube. They want us to die slowly in a lot of places. And I don't blame them one bit in that respect. But you know, John, I think it's really revealing when you have Paul Krugman's column this week, his last line says, "We're doomed."
And I think it comes right down to this thing that there are these few people that can hold the entire thing up. And I even thought it was interesting, you know, I only watched Meet the Press this weekend because, one, I heard about Biden giving Cheney a serve, which was nice, and that Rachel Maddow was going to be on because she usually shows David Gregory a bit about how his job should be done. But, you know, I just, I'm sitting there, you know, and even David Brooks was saying he thinks maybe this time around, say in 2012, that maybe this is the first time where a third party can actually get in.
You know,
I've never heard this, like, and like he was saying it, you know, he said, look, as far as I look at it, people are the approval ratings of both parties are just like in the shitter.
Mm.
And maybe, you know, he said maybe one of the third parties needs to really consider doing a real run as an independent or something for a presidential candidate this time around. Because maybe the sentiment is there of if you were given a decent third choice that was not part of either of these, you know, bipolar fucking institutions, that maybe people would actually go for it.
I think, John, in order for a third party to work, the world has to be a lot colder, more people have to be starving, and a big segment of the United States has to be in chaos. I really do think that if you look and see what's happening with the map, with the Republicans, and the fact that they're pumping day in and day out that they are the party for change, basically that's what they're saying, without any rebuttal. I think we're in for a world of hurt in 2010, and I don't even want to think about what we're in for 2012. But I mean, it's amazing how fast they're flipping this. And I don't think Daily Coast and a lot of these other sites, I don't think they're even aware of or they're pretending not to be aware, and that's doing them in even faster. Of how fast people are going to go to Republican. I mean, I talked to a lot of friends and a lot of my dad's friends, and they're at the place, and I can't believe it. And the answer is, well, it can't be worse than the Democrats, and that's pretty much what most of the United States is going to do too when it comes to vote the people in 2010. And it's sad, but I mean, somebody needs something to hold on to something. Because look, people, I don't care what anyone says. I don't care what Barack Obama says. I don't care what the Democrat says. Because as far as I'm concerned, the Democrats are just as much as traitors as the Republicans to me at this point. And that's point blank. If someone has a problem with that, I don't care. Because the truth is, they want us to be wage slaves too.
Well, we're getting our version of New Labor, I think.
That's it right there. That's it. And you know, here's the other thing to think about is when you look into these. Don't pay attention to these facts when someone comes on the line and tells you we're creating new jobs or we have new openings for jobs or jobs are coming. That's great, but that's great that you have these ideas for jobs and the jobs are coming, you believe they are, but that takes nothing into consideration when it comes to the debt. And the fact that they're gearing up for other places to launch war from, that should be another concern. And we're not doing anything about that? And then add to the fact, John, this week of the Obama administration signing off onto wiretapping cell phones. Give me a break.
Yeah. And what did I hear? There's actually a re-upping of the Patriot Act and the jobs bill. Did I hear that right?
See, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. We're facing all of these calamities at once, and people expect us to stay. You know what it is? People expect us to stay tuned. When I'm on Twitter and I'm talking, I will just go in mode, and I'll just start talking, just random, and I'll just be throwing links out. And I use the BITLY converter, which is what I suggest a lot of people use, because when you use the link shortener, you can keep track of how many people are the statistics of how many people are clicking on your links and the traffic activity per hour.
Yeah.
It's a really great site to begin with. And but the thing that I notice is is that so many people are in such pattern thinking, and this is a problem. I don't care if a lot of liberals or a lot of progressives get upset at this, but it's true. A lot of liberals and progressives, they're in such a pattern thinking that it's hard to break from the cycle, that they don't understand that you're stuck in this wage slavery. It's going to get worse. We have to do something now. And whatever it is we do, we have to all be on all be on this train, and we have to get something. Just throw something out there and get a movement or something started in that fashion. And a lot of people, I don't know, they think their jobs are going to be there for them, that haven't experienced that that downturn of jobs, or they're just so in denial. And you look at what's happening when it comes all across the board when it comes to colleges and education. It's not hard to see where this country is headed, and it's not hard to see the fact that we're going to build up our military again. Mistake number whatever you want to call it.
If there's anything aside from healthcare costs that's absolutely screwing the country, it has to be the bottomless pit of what we throw down the gurgler on the military. And that's not saying, you know, we shouldn't have a military, you know, kumbaya, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that. But we piss it up the fucking wall. And we don't even get value for money. But there's never anything about, you know, fixing up the problems. You know, we constantly hear new allegations against bloody Blackwater. But are the contracts being revoked? No!
No.
All this overbilling, is that a problem? No! You know, and you know, the moment you say, but, you know, we shouldn't be wasting our money on this when it's not, oh, you don't like the troops. And again, it's the story of wedge issue politics yet again, man. It's like constant. And even you know, it's the constant campaigning. And I actually do think that in the beginning, Obama was trying to get away from that, you know, four-year campaign thing. But because of the media fest and the 24-hour news cycle and kind of I really am getting sick of, like, the way the mainstream media, and this has been happening for years, try to have, you know, who beat who in a 24-hour cycle and lose complete track of what any actual issue is. And so it all ends up being just big distractions while we fight amongst one another, and nothing happens, and they just continue to go on and serve themselves, as in, you know, the Senate. Like, I think Joe Lieberman is going to go down as one of the most toxic individuals in the history of the United States, as far as I'm concerned. And it's the people of his ilk in the Senate. I do think that, you know, the American system of government is truly broken. It's truly broken. There, you know, until there are a few things changed, like the filibuster rule, but even before you get there, mandatory voting. Period. Mandatory voting. I'm sorry, it's gotta be. Because they're going to be able to constantly fudge and play games to have whoever they want out of the two parties get in, as long as there is no recourse or way to check that you're actually getting a proper sample of your population. And watching after Obama did the Q&A sessions with the Republicans and whatnot, seeing people have, you know, putting up petitions going, hey, we like this question and answer thing, let's make this official. Let's make this part of the system. These are things that I think would be good. I think these are things that would be good. But I just really wonder if the system is so ill at this time that can anyone turn it around without...
Well, howdy!
I don't see how they can change it.
I think we're past turning it around. I mean, there's a line in... there's a line in Garbage Warrior, which I was rewatching last night, and he said, whatever you thought that we could do for this country, the American dream, that's over. All that's left is survival. And I think that pretty much sums up where we're at right now.
Yep.
All that's left is survival, people. That and bright ideas and slight chances of any change about to occur. So that's why everyone should just throw any idea out there they can when we do have parts of the system breaking down like this. And hopefully something will stick, and we can use that for a platform for something, for just a little bit more of a light in the room.
Yeah.
And that's all we have. That's really all we have. And the fact is we were told, you know the problem is, John? We were told, and we should have, what we should have done 30 years ago is say, no, you can't have more. We should have limited the production on so much crap in this country. On everything. We should have limited our resources, and I know that would have sounded communist. But the truth is, you can't live high on the hog forever. It was coming to a close, and you can see it all around you now. You can see the crack start starting in this country. I can definitely see it in my town.
Oh, dear.
And I think, John, I just think that we really need to have that sobering look in the mirror to all of America and be like, look, you can't have more, because here's the reality and here's how everyone else is living, and we're gonna have to learn how to adjust and live at a different standard now.
Yeah, and you don't actually need more. Most people have enough, but they don't actually understand it because, again, here we get into, consumerism and marketing and all that. And it's like, oh, my iPhone is 6 months old. They came out with one that has another button. I better get it. And that kind of attitude where that is, and it's really sad that this is what people find to be their be-all, end-all of whether they're satisfied with their lives, is the things that they consume, as opposed to the things you create. And, that maybe is part of the process, too, is that people are going to have to be forced to not be able to consume as much and then suddenly have to create things out of nothing.
John, before I go, I just want to say I think one of the reasons why we this country got done in so fast, faster than we ever expected, was the fact that we had such a conveyor belt mentality. And we never turned that conveyor belt off once we hit the red button.
Yeah.
We just kept it going and going and going. And for some reason, nobody started to think and says, we don't have a rest period. We don't have a break period here. No. The demand, the supply and demand. I mean, it's such a stupid model. Supply and demand. After a while, it can't work.
No.
It's not working. And here's the other thing, John, is the fact that We're about to see how much people really do are really going to consume and buy in this economy when the money dries up for more and more Americans month after month. We're really going to see now. We're really going to see how bad that failure of a model is in place. And I just love to see what the excuse from the right wingers are going to be. Well, actually, I already know what it's going to be. It's going to be more of Barack Obama. And here's the sad part. I hate to end it on a sad note, but it's true. They're going to blame it on Barack Obama. They're going to blame it on socialism. They're going to blame it on the communist model for this country. And you know what, John? They're going to take the free market again. They're going to take that predatory free market, that vampiric system, and put it back into American system. And they're not even going to know what's hit them. They're not even going to know what has hit them the next time when they realize, hey, wait a minute. I've never been worse off than I've ever been. And they'll probably do that switcheroo again and say, well, it's probably the Democrats and the communists and socialists.
Well, do we have to work at changing the term that we even use? Start referring to the free market as the slave market because of that operational word of free that gets that 25 to 30% of Pavlov's dogs in the nation?
Well, I'm using the term wage slaves constantly because that's exactly what everyone's becoming. I don't care what people are saying. I'm going to make this amount. I'm going to make X amount. I'm going to be in this position. You know what? Even if you do make that position, and this is the truth, even if you do make that position and you do make that amount of money, you are not going to have a soul. You will not have a soul at all. They will have ripped it from your body. Because the truth is corporate America has come to destroy and pillage worse than any nightmare you could ever imagine. And that's the problem. And you know, John, I look at it, and I look at the world I'm living in right now, and I'm sure everyone else is living in, and I think back to that garbage warrior quote, and a lot of people, and a lot of Democrats need to understand this too, and a lot of liberals need, a lot of progressives, and a lot of people need to understand it. The trick now, all we got left now is just to survive. No, it really is that simple.
No doubt, man. Well, and with that, I think we're going to have to wrap it up. But until next week, and thanks for the track today.
I look forward to talking to you, John, and I hope we have another round of conversation and debate as we usually do.
Yep.
I do want to say that I would like you to watch The Cove if you haven't seen it.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
I'm gonna send you a link to it, and that, I guess that's what we can discuss about next week, and you'll be blown away by that movie like I was, John.
Okay, man.
You will be absolutely blown away.
And anyone who hasn't seen Garbage Warrior, you have to see that film. That is an important.
Oh, without
film.
A doubt, you have to see Garbage Warrior.
Yeah. So plug. Have a great week.
The endless plugs, man. Yeah. Endless plugs.
Yeah. Who needs advertising? We do it for free when it's good. Wait a minute. Did I just
say
that?
Yeah.
All right, David, have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week, man.
All right, later.
All right. That's our good buddy David from Maine, as we're going to get out of here on the top of the hour. Always good to have a chat with him. And I'll get some links up. I'll dig up some stuff on this J Electronica guy that he showed us today. It's interesting stuff. Some interesting, but now I understand that the Choppy Choppy was the DJ in the studio. Why can't you just play somebody else's tune? But anyway. We're going to take a break and open up the Skype line. You can find us on FOXDUP on Skype. And whatever you want to talk about, it's kind of like freeform it. Let's have a bit of fun. What's on your mind? But we're going to go out with a little bit of, well, I always do something like this on a show. A bit of Alice in Chains. Shame in You. You listen to The Horn. America's liberal voice. See you after the break.
When I'm late. We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at CityNet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit CityNet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
We should be able to deliver bottled hot water to dehydrated babies.
What the hell is that shit?
Two down, one to go. It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Foxed Up here for the last and the final hour. It's time to light up that Skype machine, folks. Foxed Up, search us up on Skype. Give us a buzz, what's on your mind? You're listening to America's Liberal Voice, the Head On Radio Network. And this is supposed to be an environmental program, and Gene sent me this, and I got to at least get to it a little bit. From India Today. Now, India's got some real issues with Monsanto, and all the genetically modified rice and whatnot has been creating a suicide plague of farmers throughout India for years. There's an article here. You can find the link at the blog post today at foxedup.headonradionetwork.com. But it says, the headline is, Monsanto faked data for approvals claims. It's ex-chief. And they say here, the debate on genetically modified brinjal variety continues. I'm assuming that's a variety of rice. Continues to generate heat. Former managing director of Monsanto India, Mr. Jagadisan, is the latest to join the critics of BT Brinjal, perhaps the first industry insider to do so. This one really trips me up. Jagadisan, I guess? Jagadisan?
who worked with Monsanto for nearly two decades, including 8 years as the managing director of India operations, spoke against the new variety during the public consultation held in Bangalore on Saturday. On Monday, he elaborated by saying the company used to fake scientific data submitted to government regulatory agencies to get commercial products in India. The former Monsanto boss said government regulatory agencies with which the company used to deal with in the 1980s simply depended on data supplied by the company while giving approvals to herbicides. Nice! Yes. You want to sell that? You do your own research. Give us your own data. And wow, it's all good. You found that your thing is just fine. Imagine that. The piece continues. The Central Insecticide Board was supposed to give these approvals based on the location and crop-specific data from India, but it simply accepted foreign data supplied by Monsanto. They did not even have a test tube to validate the data, and at times, the data itself was faked. That's a quote. I retired from the company as I felt the management of Monsanto USA was exploiting our country. At the time, Monsanto was getting into the seed business, and I had information that a Terminator gene was to be incorporated in the seeds being supplied by the firm. This meant that the farmer had to buy fresh seeds from Monsanto at heavy cost every time he planted the crop, he said. Jagadison said the parent company also retracted from the assurance given to then-Minister for Chemicals and Fertilizer, Vasant Sath, on setting up a manufacturing unit in collaboration with Hindustan Insecticides for the herbicide Butachlor. Sounds like something you use to bleach your ass. The negotiations went on for over a year, and in the meantime, Monsanto imported and sold large quantities of the product and made huge profits. Asked to comment on Jagadison's allegations, a Monsanto spokesman said, "We have full faith in the Indian regulatory system that we bought, which has its checks and measures in place to ensure accuracy and authenticity of data furnished to them." On approval of GM crops, the spokesperson said the regulatory process was stringent and no biotech crops were allowed in the market until they undergo extensive and rigid crop safety assessments following strict scientific protocols. Yeah, you couldn't twist that data if you tried, could ya? We already know that during Bush the First, they just took everything from Monsanto as fucking gospel. And the genie has been released. And every claim Monsanto makes about higher yields and all of that is crap. Maybe the first year. Then go talk to a farmer a couple years later. And see just how well it's going now that he's tied into having to pay like a fucking ransom every year back to that woeful, woeful corporation. Why is it only in America we don't seem to see this? That this just really isn't a good way to go. And what's been happening in India over the past few years for Monsanto has been just horrible. Sold this idea that, use our seed, you won't have the pest problems, and you can spray the Roundup shit on everything and it won't kill it. Many of these guys who work really hard years later end up hanging themselves or otherwise taking their own lives because they're bankrupt, they're being held hostage by an American corporation. And as a farmer, someone whose life is, you know, you want to grow food for your community. And you can't. or you've been lied to. It's just absolutely herbicide, whatever. But, I mean, I've had endless rants on Monsanto, and I'm sorry, as far as I'm concerned, the jury's out. It's like climate change. There isn't an even debate here. Just because someone might like to perceive reality as being different doesn't mean that the facts are different. It's like Biden talking about Dick Cheney. He's entitled to his own opinion, but he's not entitled to his own facts. And this is one of the big problems that we're dealing with in this world, and the United States is really suffering from. The inability to just actually make clear to the ignorant or the misinformed of the actual facts. And how you can have a segment of the population go on blindly. This is where I really don't know what to say about moving ahead on so many of these issues. Where you have people are so willing to believe something that is totally incorrect because it's easier. Where I think things like religion, sorry for those of you that have faith, but I would expect that many of the people who say things like there's no such thing as man-made climate change are probably very religious people that are willing to believe things without any kind of scientific challenge. Just how I see it. With that, we're going to take a little break. Maybe we can get the phones to light up, or the Skype phone to light up. And as we take a little break and play the track that must be played once per show here on Foxed Up every week, the reminder to everyone to just stay human. Michael Franti and Spearhead. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. Come on! Where are you guys? It's been so long since I've been on, I figured you guys would be, like, knocking down the line. So, Foxed Up, next Skype. We'll see
you. It's a creation of the devil, the rebel. I'm bringing food to the people like a widow. Bringing flowers to a grave in the middle of the city. Isolation is a riddle. To be surrounded by a million other people, but feel alone like a tree in the desert. Dried up like the skin of a lizard. Full of color like the spots of a leopard. Drum and bass pull me in like a shepherd. Scratch my itch like a needle on the record. Full of life like a man going to Mecca. Sky high like an eagle up soaring. I speak low but I'm like a lion roaring. Baritone like a Robeson recording. I'm giving thanks for being human every morning. Because the streets are alive. With the sound of boom bop, can I hear it once again? Boom bop, tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive. With the sound of boom bop, can I hear it once again? Boom bop, but tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Be resistant the negativity, we keep it at a distance. Call for backup and I'll give you some assistance. Like a lifesaver deep in the ocean. Stay afloat here upon the funky motion. Rock and roll upon the waves of the season. Hold your breath and you're underwater breathing. To be rhyming without a real reason is to claim and not to practice a religion. If television is the drug of the nation, satellite is immaculate reception. Beaming in, they can look and they can listen. So you see, don't believe in the system.
to legalize you or give you your freedom. You want rights, ask them to read them. But every flower got a right to be blooming. Stay human, because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. Can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Aha. Well, it's all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human. You see why 2K and 2 is a moment in time we find that we can open up a heart that's locked or been broken by the pain of words not spoken, nor shot by guns are still smoking. Cartwrights out on the Ponderosa, or drive by banging Testarossa. We need to heed the words of Dalai Lama, or at least the words of your mama. Take a mental trip to the Bahamas. Steam your body in a stereo sauna, sauna, comma. Because the streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. The streets are alive with the sound of boom bap. But can I hear it once again? Boom bap. But tell your neighbor, tell a friend. Every flower got a right to be blooming. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. All the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Ha 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 ha. Because all the freaky people make the beauty of the world. Stay human.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
We'll be right back.
gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And I had to let that play for a bit because, sorry, the lyric is just too good. Thanks to David for giving me where we're about to go. I got Gene on hold there at the minute. Hang tight, Gene. We're going to get with you in just a second. And there's a reason why I'm playing War Pig. The Ozzy fans are kicking it up in the chat room now. You know, just a classic, but I should turn this down so I can actually get to the point. Now, I'm just going to let this play while I talk about this. I saw this headline earlier. David reminds me and goes, you got to talk about this. U.S. rockets slam into Afghan home, killing 12. We're doing so good. You know, we're having this big push, biggest push we've had in a long time in Afghanistan. I mean, I don't even know what to do about that mess over there anymore. Except just get out. And here we go again. Marja, Afghanistan. Two U.S. rockets slammed into a home Sunday outside the southern Taliban stronghold of Marja, killing 12 civilians after Afghanistan's president appealed to NATO to take care in its campaign to seize the town. Inside the town, Marines encountered death at every corner in their second day of a massive offensive to capture this bleak mud-brick city filled with booby traps, hardcore Taliban fighters, and civilians unsure where to cast their loyalty. You know what's interesting, though? But what I was seeing on the news last night, I know that this has just recently happened, but what I was seeing on the news last night, even here, was just footage, and I found it eerily unbelievable, but I kind of hope it's true. But it's showing that, like, the Marines are kind of coming in and finding no resistance. And I thought I saw earlier in the weekend a headline at Huffington Post about us hitting civilian targets and some activities of the Afghan army that our guys were not happy with. That seemed to vanish. Last night I'm seeing this thing about, like, oh, you know, it's kind of like, you know, a walk in the park. But then we end up with this. We end up here. You know, Marines confronted a fierce firestorm as they ducked in and out of doorways and hid behind bullet-riddled walls to evade sniper fire. To the north, U.S. Army troops fought skirmishes with Taliban fighters, calling in a Cobra attack helicopter against the insurgents. Insurgents littered the area with booby traps and explosives before the offensive, and the sound of controlled detonations about three every hour punctuated the day along with mortars and rocket fire. Our children are very scared by the explosions. When will it end? Asked Zahir, a 25-year-old poppy farmer who, like many Afghans, goes by one name. The civilian deaths were a blow to NATO and Afghan efforts to win the support of residents in the area, a major goal of the biggest ground offensive of the eight-year war. Marja, which has a population of 80,000 before the offensive, is a Taliban logistical center and base for their lucrative opium trade, which finances the insurgency. The rockets were fired by a high-mobility air artillery rocket system, or HIMARS! 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 It doesn't matter. HIMARS! I really think it's sick sometimes. At insurgents who attacked U.S. and Afghan forces. In other words, high god of war. HIMARS. Get it? Get it? Sorry, that wasn't an accident. Pfft. The top NATO commander in Afghanistan, General Stanley McChrystal, apologized to President Hamid Karzai for this tragic loss of life and suspended use of the sophisticated HIMARS system pending a thorough review of the incident. I don't know what to make of this, but it's really weird. Depending on the outlet that you're paying attention to, it feels like the story is got a different bend to it. It's, like I said, you know, last night, even on the Australian news here, it was all kind of like walk in the park stories. And, you know, the locals are all going, oh, the Taliban, they're all on the run. They heard he was coming. I'd love for that to be kind of the case. But just, you know, excuse me for a moment if I'm suspect. Now, if we, as in the Americans, go in there and somehow move things forward, which I just don't see how you're going to do, when you're supporting a government that the people don't even support because Karzai controls about of a postage stamp, and he's kind of an installed dude anyway. So how do we think we're going to end up making this work no matter how much firepower we put down in there? We're looked at as the people that are backing up the bogus government that the people don't even, and like even if they didn't have a problem, it's like, well, they have no power in the outskirts. It's insane. It's absolutely insane. But we're going to divert from that because my news producer is on the line. Hey, Gene, you still hanging on there, mate?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Ah, can hear you fine. I just don't know what to make of, you know, we go diving in trying to, I don't know, some other new plan to try that, you know, fix what the old plan got wrong, but we end up killing civilians again. Like, are we going to end up, is this going to do any good for us, Gene? I just don't think it will.
All I can think of is that line from 1984, Oceania had always been at war with East Asia, and all it was Eurasia, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Boy, what a thing to follow. Actually, the rant kind of goes in with this. It's kind of about, I think, I was actually going to rant about the Olympics because there have been a few people that have been bitching them, have been complaining about, you know, who wants to see it. I kind of agree because why do we need this anymore in the age of the Internet, having to go around all these countries and you remember the carbon footprint of the Olympic torch and all that stuff from last year. But I think what this is, if you've been kind of talking about entertainment throughout the evening, and in the context of larger society, I think the elites are scared out of their pants because we're not doing the bread and circuses thing like we used to anymore. And now we're actually looking around and saying, hey, what's going on? And so they're trying their darndest between distraction and outright force to keep doing what they're doing, and we're not buying it.
Well, you know, I look at the Olympics, first of all, as a dead institution. I think it's a complete and utter waste of time, and I know I'm going to catch a lot of flack for saying that. And it's not that I have anything against the athletes. And, you know, if it actually was, you know, a non-professional competition, I could kind of go with it, you know. And, I mean, I remember back in the 80s cheering on, you know, the U.S. hockey team and all that kind of stuff, you know. There's a lot of healthy stuff that can be, you know, done as a result of doing such a thing. But for years now, it's just gotten to be more and more corporatized, more and more controlled.
Yeah.
And I still remember, when the Olympics were in Atlanta, and people were having food confiscated because it was caught on camera and it wasn't official sponsors' food. And when, seriously, man, and they did it in Greece as well. Bloody Greece, man, where you have, like, some of the best food in the world, and they're not actually able to showcase it properly because it's not from McDonald's or KFC, food that you wouldn't eat if you were an elite athlete in the first place. So, like, I sit there and watch. Like, I can't even pay attention to it. We had a little bit of a barbecue with neighbors yesterday. Like, oh, did you watch the opening ceremonies? So really, and I said, I really couldn't care less. And I said, to the point now where I used to watch every opening ceremonies because there was always technical genius that went on as far as being a production guy. But I couldn't care less anymore. The best thing about this Olympics is what Stephen Colbert has been doing with the speed skating team. Right?
What?
I think that's all great. And that's actually about the athletes. What it has become is a sad joke, and it's just this corporate love fest, and the cities that host it end up paying the bill.
We've heard about Vancouver. They don't even have enough snow really to really put on a proper Olympics without having to go through artificial means. You know, and meanwhile we have Hannity and their wife burying Mr. Gore's book in the snow, and it's like, well, if you were up in Vancouver, you might feel a little differently, but no, you're in your own little world. I really honestly think the more I think about it, I think the money elite in not just in this country, but right now we're catching the brunt of it because we have been at the top. They're beginning to see their world start to come on, and they're scared out of their wits.
You're kind of taking that same idea that I've used when talking about fundamentalist religion, where as more and more of the population actually is pulling away from it, those that remain are getting more and more hysterical, going to greater lengths to protect what they once had that they, you know, that actually when held up to scrutiny doesn't actually hold any water. And you know, you're talking about Hannity and Beck and all these idiots, you know. I have but one sample of audio that is my response.
What are you, a fucking moron?
Because, like you said, as these idiots are sitting going, wow, there's snow! Where's Al Gore? It was great cover for the fact that at the same time, the story is going on about the fact that there's not any snow in Vancouver for the Olympics, which is, well, you know, last time I checked, further north of the United States, where you would think that there would be snow, right? And not saying that what's going on in Vancouver is proof of climate change. I actually thought Dylan Radigan did a really good job when he took this on the day after they all made their stupid comments. You know, because he said, look, I'm not saying that the storms disprove or prove. However, this extreme weather at both ends of the scale follows right in line with what the preponderance of the science has said will likely happen. And we've talked about it plenty of times where it's all a feedback loop and, you know, all this energy has to go somewhere and the entire planet will never be in at one temperature because we have this thing about rotating and around the sun. It's just, you know, but that's what the planet's always trying to do is to get to one constant temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to always have extremes. And with more energy in the system, the extremes, both hot and cold, are going to be worse. So, like, and I feel so stupid of actually having to explain why these idiots are wrong and why they're idiots. Because I think.
And then there's Utah.
What was that?
And then there's Utah. Did you see it actually passed the Utah State House. They want to pull out of the Western Climate kind of conventions or whatever it's called. Apparently, some Western states have gotten together and said, let's tackle global warming, you know, as a region, that kind of thing. And Utah, along with Arizona, in fact, Arizona did this first, actually said that they passed a resolution saying we're not going to support this because we think there are, that this is all climate alarmist and conspiracy driven and all this kind of stuff.
Well, I think I might know one of the reasons why that's happened is I do believe that that kind of agreement that you're talking about was partially done through the work of our a friend of the network that we haven't spoken of in ages, Mr. Rocky Anderson. You remember Rocky?
Yeah, I do.
And he's no longer in office there, if I'm not mistaken. And
well,
he,
I don't think he's in Salt Lake City, but you know, this is at the state level. But the thing of it is, it's so typical. It's like, they're not going to get it until it really hits them large. And you were talking earlier about what's going on in Australia. And I've read, numerous times about how Australia's going to, now and soon it'll be the Western United States. And I think of Amber that's down there in Phoenix, and she's loving the sun at the moment, and it's like, yeah, enjoy it while it lasts in 2 years. You know, you'll get sick of 7 months of summer or eight and 115 degrees in, maybe September.
So that's just wrong, man. That's just
wrong. Yeah, I know. But you can't. They just don't see it. They're in their own little world. You gotta admit that the corporatists and the religionists are the perfect match. Both of them work from a place of unreality that they can get wrong, and the rest of us is like, well, we don't even care. So I'm sorry to be so cynical.
I've been catching some flack lately on the show because I've been really, really hammering the fact that I'm not sure what to do anymore to try and fix the American system. And I've been catching a lot of flack. There's been a few people that are like, you know, I don't think you're going way too negative. I don't think I can listen to you anymore. And I'm sitting there thinking, well, you know what? I'm sorry. It's how I feel. It's what I see. And I'm feeling great disappointment in the fact that even though I had no false delusions really about Barack Obama, I might have had some over-the-top hopes that, you know, situations might drive him in a direction. But I did think that we were trying to get to a point where we tried to actually work within the system instead of trying to find every place where you can stick a monkey wrench to stop it dead in its tracks. And that's where my frustration is really, really coming from, because once again, Democrats are going to be labeled as being too mamby-pamby, not able to stand up. But we do have a few that do, but mm-hmm. The media machine doesn't back up the actual facts as opposed to what people's implied fact-like things might be. And, you know, I just, and it's a thing where, you know, okay, if I lose a few listeners, I can't really be worried about it because I can't hold people's hands and say, you know, it's all going to be okay if I think it's actually not. I've come back to a headspace that I was in 4 to 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe just because we got rid of George W., I was thinking more positively, but I'm seeing the machine be manipulated from a different direction to get virtually the same results, regardless of what the people or even some of the people that we've elected into government may want. You know,
mm-hmm.
I wish Senator Al Franken the best in the Senate, and I hope he's one of the people that actually turns the Senate back around into a functioning body again, because he's a policy wonk and he wants things to get done. I might not agree with him on everything, but I really, really like him being in the Senate. Most of the rest of them can go blow.
I was going to say, actually, at this point, I wouldn't mind seeing the tenant just kind of close up shop right now, but that's me.
Well, this is where I wish we had a double disillusion situation like you can do here in Australia. If the current government finds that they can't get anything done because the other side's being too obstructionist, or, you know, it comes down to, do the people really support the government's proposals, you call a double disillusion, both houses and everything just get wiped out, everyone's got to go run, has 6 weeks or 8 weeks to go run for their seat again, and it gives a valve for the people to say, per district, go, yeah, you were doing your job, you can stay. No, you're not doing your job, get out. You get out. Let's get this new blood in here and actually be able to stop the system from being ground to a halt for an entire 4 to 8 years, which is what I think we're headed for. I mean, just watching, and it really has come down to, no matter what anybody does, it's the Senate that fucks it all.
Yeah, it sure seems to, and I'm at this point, I've been listening to Mike McGoy of late, our friend, and it's like, he's been saying that maybe we should give it to the Republicans, but stick them with it. And it's like, I'm almost ready to do that. It's scary, it's hard to think about, but, you know, it's tempting. And I've got one more thing to say, and I want to go. I want to head off. Our friend Preston, on Facebook, Preston Anorites, calls the program, has put up a video from Bioneers. It's about the Constitution, and it's very interesting because the lawyer that is speaking actually kind of puts a whole different spin on the Constitution, that maybe it really wasn't meant to be as people-oriented as we've always thought from the beginning. And I found that very interesting, that this kind of talk would come from this particular sector of society. And so I would urge, because I find it really fascinating, go to Facebook, go find Preston on the page of Preston Enright, and see if you can find that video, because it was really very interesting. Now, I got to give you a heads up. It's a four-part piece, and the fourth part, the audio is out on it, but the other three are just interesting enough that it makes you think. So I recommend that you go see that. And with that, I will let you off. I will go ahead and say my adieu for another week and let somebody else get on.
All right, man. Thank you for everything you do, and have a great week, and we'll do this all again next weekend. I promise.
Ciao,
brother. That's our good mate Gene over there in Oregon, the original news ninja. And I just think it'd be good. Time for a little bit of a Jimi Hendrix break before we finish up the show. Turn this fucker up. You're listening to the Horn.
Get out of here alive. Freedom, that's what I want now.
do it, Jimmy. And I just reckon I'm going to play this one because... Is this where we're at the moment? Is it all a game and we're all just left helplessly hoping and we go nowhere?
Helplessly hoping her harlequin hovers nearby, awaiting a word. Gasping at glimpses of gentle true spirit, he runs, wishing he could fly high, only to trip at the sound of goodbye. Wordlessly watching, he waits by the window and wonders at the empty place inside. Heartlessly helping himself to her bad dreams, he worries, did he hear a goodbye? Or even hello? They are one person, they are two alone, they are three together, they are four. Stairway, you'll see something certain to tell you. Confusion has its cause. Love isn't lying, it's loose in a lady who lingers, saying she is lost and choking on her love. For each other.
Let's finish it off. A bit of Akka to Akka.
Yeah!
anything just more pure and rockin' than a bit of Akka Takka.
Woohoo! All right, well, with that, I reckon that's just a great way to bloody end the show. And bloody hell, thanks, everybody. It's been a long time. It's been about a month. But thanks for being here, folks. It's been great fun. Thanks to Ben Birch of the White Rose Society for the streaming and the archives, the hardest working man in liberal talk, helping keep what's left of liberal talk alive. Thanks to Gene and ELO and Lottie and everybody, the bloggers, everybody who does everything for us. Bob Kincaid, tomorrow night. And say hi to Cynthia Black, too. See you next week.
And the sign said, long-haired, freaky people need not apply. So I took my hair up under my hat, and I went in to ask him why. He said, you look like a fine, upstanding young man. I think you do. So I took off my hat and said, imagine that. Cut me. What gives you the right to put up a fence to keep me out or to keep Mother Nature in? If God was here, he'd tell you to your face, man, you're some kind of sinner. Sign, sign, everywhere a sign, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. Do this, don't do that, can't you read the sign? Membership card to get inside.